This show has been brought to you by Eco Design Resources of Santa Cruz, located just off the downtown mall. Eco Design Resources specializes in healthy and sustainable products for your home, including earth-friendly paints, plaster, flooring, countertops, as well as accessories and fine local eco-groovy holiday gift items. Please stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins Show coming up next after the CBS News. Have a great weekend.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes.
Our fans deserve a game that is played on a level playing field, where all who compete do so fairly.
No argument on the steroid abuse report from George Mitchell, from the baseball commissioner, Bud Selig. But he says suspensions or other sanctions will be determined case by case. Luis Fernando Llosa at Sports Illustrated.
Whomever your hero is, it's likely that he may have been taking or looking the other way while other players were taking.
Reaction from Alex Rodriguez, whose name did not appear in the report, by the way, in an interview with Katie Couric for Sunday's 60 Minutes.
Our revenues are over $6 billion. More people watched this play last year than any other year in the history of the game. I mean, I can go on and on about how wonderful our game is doing. I think this is a hiccup and a big one, but I think baseball will overcome that.
More than a dozen Yankees, past and present, were among the 80-plus players named in the Mitchell report, though it says every team had a steroid problem and looked the other way. Roger Clemens, by the way, great pitcher, prominently mentioned in the report, vehemently denies using steroids in a statement. His lawyer says he's been tested repeatedly, never tested positive, and he calls it slander. Big winter storm delays at Boston's Logan Airport. Spokesman Richard Walsh.
We have approximately 2-hour outbound delays and 3-hour inbound delays at this time.
An inch or more of snow an hour has been falling on much of Massachusetts. And in Connecticut, it's been nasty, icy on the roads as the Midwest ice storm pushed on into the Northeast. Meanwhile, back in the Midwest, many of the lights are still off in several states. Oklahoma shivers. CBS's Seth Doan is in Oklahoma City.
There are several estimates that more than 1 million trees fell across Oklahoma, and even days after this ice storm, you still have ice that is caking the leaves and tree boughs. When you walk across the grass, it crackles under your feet.
Federal prosecutors in Miami plan to retry 6 men accused of plotting to join Al-Qaeda in a plot to blow up the Sears Tower in Chicago. One man was acquitted today, the deadlocked jury for the other 6. You wouldn't be able to figure out on your own whether Mevacor would be okay or useful to control your cholesterol.
We have a total of 2 yes, 10 no's, 1 abstention.
That's what FDA advisory panels are saying today, saying what would have been the first over-the-counter cholesterol drug should remain a doctor's decision. It's still okay to have pet chickens in the city of Chicago. City council members backed away from a proposal to outlaw chickens because of the smells, the droppings, also known as invitations to rat families, and the noise. Rooster noise, more than clucking hens, is what generates the most complaints. Raising chickens in the city has become a growing organic food trend in Chicago, and we're told elsewhere. On Wall Street, the Dow turned around late, closing up 44 points. NASDAQ off less than 3 points. Oil prices, $92.25 a barrel, down $2.14. This is CBS News.
We're shopping mall, there's shopping mall. Things that are small, Bob's big and tall. Drum, fix a mess, there's no distress. Find a new way with no delay.
Traffic's a mess? Fear not. The Garmin Nuvi is here with traffic alerts and clear voice-prompted directions.
Turn right on 34th Street.
Give a Garmin.
The Garmin Nuvi GPS. Find it at Garmin.com or your favorite retailer.
Holidays getting closer. It's all right, there's a gift you'll find is perfect every time. Let's give Outback tonight.
Let go of your shopping worries with Outback holiday gift cards. Give everyone on your list a taste of the bold, fresh flavors of Outback. Drop by tonight and leave your worries behind.
Let's give Outback tonight.
Get gift cards at any Outback or Outback.com.
A hearing on Capitol Hill today looked at money raised for veterans' charities that never gets to the vets.
Using celebrities like Pat Sajak,
Help Hospitalized Veterans distributes arts and craft kits to veterans and military hospitals throughout the world.
This fund raised nearly $100 million, but members of Congress say less than a third went to help wounded veterans. Ed Edmondson had to quit his job to take care of his son and says he couldn't have done it without help.
I am concerned. The negative effect that the few self-serving nonprofits will have on the legitimate nonprofits.
The committee found heads of some charities paying themselves $500,000 a year. Howard Ehrenstein, CBS News, Washington.
The Home Office in London says the sale of samurai swords should be outlawed in England because some people have been attacked with the ancient-style swords. Scimitars and cutlasses and daggers may still be okay, but the samurai swords will be added to the offensive weapons order next April. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Hey folks, John Madden here for Ace Hardware. You know, there's still plenty of time on the holiday play clock to pick out the perfect gift. Finish off your holiday list with an Ace gift card. It's a thoughtful, convenient gift, and it's accepted at more than 4,000 Ace stores nationwide. Ace gift card recipients can choose from home accents, cool gadgets, and serious hardware. Ace has everything for around the house, plus helpful advice. Stop by your local Ace now and gift wrap an Ace gift card from Ace, the holiday helpful place.
Hi, my name's Bill, and I'm totally hooked on mobile banking. You see, with Wachovia and AT&T's newest feature, mobile banking is easy. Too easy. I mean, I'll be putting my phone on vibrate before a movie, and before I know it, I'm transferring funds, checking account balances, or even paying the bills. Seriously, who pays a bill during the previews?
Wachovia has taken mobile banking to a new level. To learn more, go to wachovia.com/mobile banking. Are you with Wachovia?
Wachovia Bank N.A. and Wachovia Bank of Delaware N.A. are members FDIC.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today. We got a lot to talk about and only 3 hours to cover it all. With your indulgence, we're going to do our mighty fine best. On our program today, we lead off with Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress. He'll be with us in a moment with a wide range of developing news stories. Later this hour, respected journalist Robert Dreyfus returns to our program. We'll talk about the about-face on intel about Iran and the continuation of the same rhetoric from the White House. And also, Dreyfus has an interesting item on his blog. We'll let him break the story, but it, well, there's a new friend for our buddy Ahmadinejad.
Same old technological breakdown. Oh no, this is the road to hell.
Also on today's program, our contributor on military and veterans issues, retired Army Major Scott Dick, will join us next hour. We're going to talk about the surge, this one, the surge of violence in southern Iraq. Yeah, we thought that was all fixed. The British are ready to go home, and a car bomb hit yesterday, and it's Shia on Shia violence in southern Iraq. Also, suicide by veterans, particularly those returning from Iraq and Afghanistan, has hit extreme proportions. Almost 120 per week in the last year records are available. That's 2006. I was shocked when Scott told me that figure. We'll talk about it in detail. And the CBS News story that has been refuted, rejected, and downplayed by the Veterans Administration. Also on today's program, one of our listeners who lives in Santa Cruz, Tom Unsicker, decided to get active after listening to one episode of the Peter B. Collins Show recently. He's blaming me for this. So he has decided that Congress needs some courage. And he is going to hop on his bicycle in Santa Cruz this Saturday and begin a bicycle trip to Washington, D.C. He expects to take 3 to 4 weeks. And he is towing a little trailer that has courage packs for members of Congress and revolving around the concept of giving people some balls. Well, he's got ping pong balls, pairs of them.
and he's planning to deliver them to members of Congress. Tom Unsicker will kick off our free speech zone this afternoon. And in the free speech zone, we're going to talk about the standards for debates in Iowa conducted by the Des Moines Register. They excluded Dennis Kucinich because his Iowa campaign manager doesn't have an office. He works from a home office. But they included Alan Keyes, whose office appears to be in his vest pocket. That was for the Republican debate yesterday. We talked to Dennis Kucinich very late in the program yesterday and shared our disappointment at his exclusion. We'll talk about that in the free speech zone coming up a little bit later. Faz Shakir is the Director of Research at the Center for American Progress, and he is co-editor of their Daily Progress Report. You can get it free in your email like I do. Just log on to progressreport.org. Faz, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, Peter. How are you?
Well,
sounds like you're not feeling the Alan Keyes momentum.
No, I don't feel the mo for Alan.
No? It's catching on.
Is
it? Iowans are going crazy.
Really?
Especially after his amazing debate performance the other night.
Yeah, what evidence can you advance to support
well,
that?
He tells me so. No, he's I don't know what purpose he had on the stage the other night, and it was sad to see him on there and Dennis Kucinich not given an opportunity to be on the Democratic debate.
Well, and Keyes kind of took over and steamrolled the moderator, the writer for the Des Moines Register, who basically said, "No, you can't talk," and he just kept going. It was
a platform for Alan Keyes to be Alan Keyes. You know, I think he's clearly selling something or selling himself or what.
Right.
I don't know what he's doing, but it's unfortunate that he had a platform the other night.
Well, you'd think he would have shared his expertise in how to confront candidate Barack Obama, because they parachuted Keyes into Illinois after the guy Barack was running against in the Senate resigned from the race after his wife complained that he forced her to go to sex parties and perform. I mean, Alan Keyes is a candidate of tragic proportions, and he only becomes a candidate when somebody else has a tragedy.
Yeah, we were watching the debate, and we thought, is this the flashback 1000? What's Alan Keyes doing up there?
Yeah, yeah. Remember his MSNBC show? Did you ever watch that?
It's a very short-lived MSNBC
show. Oh, God, it ranks down there with Michael Savage's television outings. Well, Faz, let's dive in. There's a dizzying array of stories breaking. Al Gore went to speak at the Bali Climate Conference in Indonesia. And once again, he laid it out. He talked about how the Arctic ice is melting so much faster than anybody predicted. And he flatly said that my country, the United States of America, is one of the big problems in trying to reach consensus about how to curb our emissions and try to contain the warming of our planet.
Yeah, again, reminding us how much we've missed him not being our president, right? But yeah, his speech was greeted with rapturous cheers and applause, and people really appreciated that he quote unquote spoke an inconvenient truth, which he said, you know, we're the ones responsible for the fact that the Bali Treaty won't bring about the international consensus in reducing carbon emissions and imposing mandatory limits, and it's going to be the U.S. that's the sole stumbling block in that. And so it's unfortunate that he had to speak the inconvenient truth, but it's fortunate that he's out there doing it.
Yeah. Now, at the same time, we have an energy bill that would try to change America's consumption of gasoline. It's one of the first efforts to up the ante in terms of mileage standards for Detroit and the other manufacturers. And it came just one vote shy of cloture in the Senate today.
Very sad development. It's just another testament to the power of the oil companies and the industry, electrical and gas industries. The money that they've poured into this debate has been in the billions, and they've been trying to buy senators left and right for this vote, and unfortunately they got the one that they needed. And we came up one vote short, mm-hmm. 59 to 40. Mary Landrieu didn't vote with us, unfortunately.
Yeah,
there's a few others.
She's got that problem. She's the senator from oil and gas.
Oil and gas, exactly right. And so couldn't count on her and couldn't win over another, you know, Republican. And so we didn't get the needed energy change that we need.
We should underscore that Harry Reid was forced to scale back the tax elements of the bill. And, of course, Republicans characterize it as a tax increase. It was a rollback of a tax break for the oil and other energy extractors that was jammed through by the last Republican Congress.
Yeah, no, and it was going to impose some difficulties on them for sure, but those are difficulties that they need to adjust to. For example, the increasing the fuel standards from 25 to 35 miles per gallon. I mean, that's something that is actually in their best interest. Of course, it's going to be difficult over the short term, but how are you going to compete with Toyota, Honda, and other foreign car makers if you can't do that simple act over the next 10 to 20 years? You're just not going to be able to compete. So this was actually in their best interest, and hopefully they'll learn that and stop opposing and pouring all millions of dollars into opposing a measure that would ultimately be good for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it is sad to see it come up just one vote short there. What's the next step? Will they attempt to modify the bill further, water it down a little bit on the mileage standards, trying to pick up Mary Landrieu's vote?
I think we're getting to the point of no return, unfortunately, Peter. It seems that, you know, we're getting into 2008 where it's going to be very difficult to accomplish much in the legislative calendar beyond simply passing the appropriations bill. So this might have been the last chance. I think because the vote was so close, they might try to bring it up early next year and do it one more time to see if they can get to that 60-vote margin. But if not, I think we're going to be heading into the 2008 election with that being a primary issue for voters to vote on.
Yeah. Now, in the other legislative fronts there in Washington, Faz, what's the current status of the authorization of more money for Iraq? The Democrats have had to remove the restrictions and efforts to call for a change in policy and bringing home the troops. So they've been backed into a corner and are backing down again. I find this very disappointing. But as a realist, I know that they have probably tried as hard as they can, and the Republicans continue to flummox them with the threats of vetoes from the White House over an omnibus approach to spending that would kind of split the difference. And once again, we see the clock running and Democrats being forced to make some really stinky, stinky choices just to conclude the business and get out of town.
Party who's going to be responsible in this situation and do the things that need to be done. I mean, they have to pass an appropriations bill, right, to just keep the government going. And unfortunately, they haven't been able to pass many of them because of the Republican obstructionism you've been talking about. So now they're at the end of the game, at the end of the year, with I think eight or nine appropriations bills outstanding. So they're going to try to lump them together, and they're also throwing the war funding in and trying to pass that before they leave for the Christmas break. And like you said, I think they're caving a bit on the war funding. They're tossing in $70 billion for the war. But it's unfortunate because there have been a number of moments along the way in the past 5 months that the Democrats put out reasonable compromises to say this is an alternative route, and the Republicans simply wouldn't listen, wouldn't take it on. And so the Democrats are being the only responsible party and saying, okay, well, we got to keep the government going and make sure that families are getting their health care, food stamps, et cetera, all the government services that you expect.
Well, and I'm sorry to say that over this past year, I have watched as the Democrats have tried to compromise with uncompromising partners. And they don't appear to be getting that message, Faz, that these are radicals in the White House who will use every tactic they can to defeat the Democrats, to block their initiatives, and to maintain what semblance of control they can.
And mislead. I mean, on the S-CHIP debate, just complete fabrications about what President Bush was involved in the process. He was saying, no, I'm not involved in the process. Actually, he was. I mean, then, of course, going out and smearing young children in the process. I mean, that's the kind of tactics we're dealing with. They're out to win. The Republicans are and the conservatives. They're playing this as a zero-sum game, and unfortunately, Democrats are still trying to find compromise with them. I think we need to learn the lesson and say these people aren't going to be people we can deal with, and so let's go out and wage war the way we need to wage war against them.
Yeah, that's my point. Thank you, Faz. We're going to continue in just a moment. We'll talk more about that S-CHIP veto, Leave No Tobacco Company Behind. If you have a question or comment, you can join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We'll continue with Faz Shakir in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. What a concept. AM 540 KRXA.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Joseph's Upholstery of Monterey will satisfy all of your upholstery needs, whether for your home or business. Joe Vitale finishes headboards, chairs, sofas, and pillows. Joe imports the finest selected fabrics from Italy, Germany, France, and other European countries to add a distinctive touch to your home or office. Joseph's Upholstery is conveniently located at 222 Ramona Avenue in Monterey. They're open Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and on Saturday, 9 to 1. Call Joe at 831-372-3224. Remember, at Joseph's Upholstery, there's one low price for all. And free delivery and pickup is available throughout Monterey and Santa Cruz counties. Call Joe Vitale now at Joseph's Upholstery, 372-3224.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey is family-owned for more than 40 years. That's why when you walk in, you're treated so well. They know what they're doing. Excellent service and great product. They have the best in high-end liquor and an excellent selection of the finest wines. It's the real deal. At Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, you can call ahead and your order will be waiting for you. They treat you like family. Open every day 9 to 9 at 19 Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits ask you to please drink responsibly.
Sure, go ahead, put Madonna in the Rock Hall of Fame, and can you lock her up there, huh? It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We continue with Faz Shakir, Research Director at the Center for American Progress, and as we mentioned, co-editor of the Daily Progress Report. Always a lot of great information there with hot links to the actual source information, so if you haven't, check it out. Lead story in the Progress Report today is about the president's veto again.
He's getting pretty comfortable with the veto pen of the S-CHIP bill, the student, the state children's health insurance program. And, Faz, when we look at this, that the president is trying to veto packages that cost $1 billion here, $1 billion there, yet he demands an unfettered blank check for at least $70 billion for Iraq. We know he wants a total of $200 billion for the coming year. And the Democrats haven't been able to find an effective way to compare those apples and oranges for the benefit of the taxpayer.
You know what's going on? The hypocrisy abounds, as you say. But there's one side that's playing complete politics with this. And, of course, that's the administration. That's the Republicans. They are playing this entire game simply for politics. They want the confrontation. They want to frame this confrontation in order to sell it politically. And that's been from A to Z their intention and the way they've carried themselves. And on the Democratic side, you've had a very different philosophy, which is, well, we actually think we can get this passed, so we're going to try to hammer out a deal with Republicans, trying to get a bipartisan support around it, which they have done with amazing bipartisan support for this program. They've put the screws to a lot of Republicans politically, making them turn up the heat.
Yeah.
And yet, I think because they thought and they've maintained their intention of wanting to compromise with President Bush and put before him good options, that they haven't, as we were talking about in the earlier segment, they haven't understood that the president views this as war. You know, and he's not in this to have any compromise. He's in this to engage in a war.
Yeah. And again, I feel that the Democrats have misread. I understand the initial efforts in the first 6 months of last year, trying to find some middle ground, trying to find some leverage to negotiate. But these are totalitarians who will not negotiate. And I'm sorry, the Democrats have been engaging in a kind of unilateral disarmament as they attempt to do that. I hope that they'll be much tougher in the coming year, even if they lose on some of these issues. S-CHIP is a perfect example, I think, of demonstrating to the American people the sharp differences between Democrats and Republicans.
Hey, and you hit the nail on that. Even though I think we've probably approached this game the wrong way with the wrong philosophy, in the end, with President Bush vetoing this bill, it's yet again another opportunity to tell a story to the American public and to say, hey, he's on one side of the issues and we're on the other.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the end, that's still very valuable for us, and we should, of course, use that. And if we want to continue to have votes on this and pass S-CHIP over the next year, I'm all in favor of that, as long as we can continue to tell the story about here's where President Bush stands, here's where we stand, here's why he's wrong, and here's why we're right. And that's why I focused on S-CHIP today for the Progress Report. Even though it was the seventh veto, he vetoed it very quietly. He vetoed behind closed doors, didn't want to talk about it very much because he understands how unpopular and how successful the S-CHIP program is. So he doesn't really want to talk about it all that much. He wants to tell a story to the conservative base about how he's standing up for fiscal discipline. Well, that fiscal discipline comes at a great cost to children, and so we want to make sure we're telling that story.
A lot of talk about waterboarding in Washington today. The House has passed an amendment to, I believe, the appropriations bill for Iraq that includes a ban on waterboarding and a requirement of compliance with the military standards. And you have an item up. It's the lead item now at thinkprogress.org, your blog, about how an FBI agent threatened to arrest CIA interrogators who were conducting the waterboarding of Abu Zubaydah in Thailand and forcing him to listen to the Red Hot Chili Peppers. You know, I like Flea, but gosh, if you're forced to listen to that at maximum volume, that could certainly amount to torture. But this is very interesting because it shows that these were controversial issues even at the time it was occurring.
Yeah, no, and that's certainly the point, is that even the operators of torture, you know, understood what they were doing was illegal and didn't want to participate. Remember, it's just a lot like the NSA wiretapping. Remember when we had all the whistleblowers come out and say, I knew that this program was illegal and I tried to raise some concerns about it. Of course, everyone stomped on me. We had a couple of those people, including Mike Tice, who came out and said that. Or Russell Tice, I think. I forget his name.
Russ Tice, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so now we have all these people coming forward, and this week we had a gentleman named John Kiriakou,
mm-hmm.
who, although he justified his past actions, which we can understand, he was an interrogator and met people affiliated with him, conducted waterboarding against Abu Zubaydah, so he stood up for their actions, but he said going forward, There's no reason to conduct these activities. We shouldn't be waterboarding, and what we did was torture. And it's a very simple concept to understand, of course. Yeah, again, just as we've been talking about, it's a political game for the White House, and they want to turn it into a political game and use it to try to hammer Democrats for being on the right side of an issue.
Yeah. And the other item out of Washington today, the Senate Judiciary Committee invoked some measures of contempt against Karl Rove and Joshua Bolten, who's still at the White House. And gosh, what do you think, Faz? 6 years from now, the issue will be resolved?
Long overdue, and we'll probably never see the day, unfortunately,
yeah.
Peter.
And maybe some pardons will get in the way of all that, too. We just can't predict. Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress, great to talk with you. Do it again next week.
Thanks, Peter. You too.
All right.
Bye.
Coming up next, journalist Robert Dreyfus joins us.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. Have you noticed how wacky some of today's warning labels are? American society being the most litigious in history, people who do truly stupid things with anything imaginable will sue the maker of whatever the thing was for not having warned against it. Since stupidity will enable you to hurt yourself with anything under the sun, lawyers now warn their clients to put warning labels on just about everything. Michigan Lawsuit Abuse Watch runs a wacky warning label contest every year. Yesterday, Kevin Suave of Farmington Hills, a suburb of Detroit, won $500, this year's first prize, for a warning label he found on a small tractor, which reads as follows. Warning. Avoid death. Some other wacky label winners after this.
Taking care of business.
Want the perfect holiday gift? At Office Depot, buy now and pay nothing until January 2009 when you use your Work Life Rewards Visa on Office Depot purchases of $499 or more. Office Depot can take care of your holiday shopping and your budget. Credit cards issued by Chase Bank USA N.A. Subject to credit approval. Payments must be made on other account balances and account must not be in default. Length of promotional period may vary based on timing and amount of payments and other balances. Offer expires 12/24/07. See store associate for details.
The 60s defied convention. From fashion to music to cereal. Take Total, the very first cereal with 100% of 11 vitamins and minerals. Today, only Total cereal has 100% daily value of calcium to support a healthy body and an antioxidant to support a healthy mind. Plus, with new flavors like Cranberry Crunch, it tastes amazing. It won't change the world, just how the world eats breakfast. Total, for mind and body.
The second prize in the annual Wacky Warning Label contest that Bob Dirigo Jones organizes was $250, which went yesterday to Carrie Ann Jacob and Robbie Turin of Greenberg, Pennsylvania, for a label they found on an iron-on T-shirt transfer. The label says, "Do not iron while wearing shirt." Gee, I wonder why not. And the $100 third prize went to Richard Goodnow of Lancaster, Massachusetts, for a warning label on a baby stroller with a pouch on it. It said, "Do not put child in bag." In last year's competition, one of the winners had also been for a label found on a folding baby stroller, which read, "Remove child before folding." These things these labels warn against are obvious to anybody except idiots, but idiots have rights too, one of which is the right to sue. Many lawyers feel there's no downside to suing because most judges ignore any existing laws that require penalties for frivolous lawsuits. So, whoever you are and whatever you do, remember you're never too stupid to sue. Whatever happens, be it never forgot. It's never your fault, my friend, no matter what. When common sense fails you, stupid or not, if there's no warning label, you've hit the jackpot. The Osgood File, Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
At Homescapes Carmel, we search far and near to find the best locally made, American made, and imported furnishings the world has to offer. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I scour the globe to find unique, unusual, and unmatched merchandise to help you personalize your home and garden. We're proud to offer a variety of products such as cabinets, lamps, and vases made with bamboo, plantation teak, and other renewable and reclaimed resources. These items are beautiful, durable, and most of all, eco-friendly. So stop by Homescapes Carmel on the corner of 7th and Dolores, or visit homescapescarmel.com.
This is the governor of California speaking. Do not listen to the Scott Dick Show weekdays from 6 to 8 p.m. What do you want? Isn't Peter B. Collins enough? You vote to California any good, he's no expert on the issues. Just sit back, drive your Hummer, light up a stogie, have some beers, and don't think for yourself. Do not listen to the Scott Dick Show, 6 to 8 p.m., or I'll be back.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Bomb, 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 bomb,
bomb, bomb, bomb, bomb, bomb, bomb, bomb, bomb, bomb, bomb, bomb, bomb, bomb, bomb, bomb, bomb, bomb, bomb,
I got this song off John McCain's iPod.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people,
and neither do we. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I have promised to seriously consider retiring that song from the Peter B. Collins tax-deductible music archives, but I've only received 2 emails complaining about it, and when we get to 10, that's when it's going to trigger a full reevaluation. Peter at peterbcollins.com. If it really annoys you, let me know. I know it does that to some people. Robert Dreyfuss joins us again on the program today, an independent journalist who writes for many major publications, and he's got his own website that's named after him, robertdreyfuss.com, spelled D-R-E-Y-F-U-S-S. Bob, thanks for joining us today.
Always a pleasure, Peter.
Now, if you had your pick of a national intelligence estimate from 2005 or the one that was released about a week ago, which one do you prefer?
Well, stay tuned. They'll probably come up with another one. But I kind of like this last one, and it's really interesting to sit here in Washington and watch the hawks and the neoconservatives and the editorial writers at the Wall Street Journal foam at the mouth, doing something that we on the left used to do, I thought, which was to criticize the CIA for being incompetent and so forth. Even the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, Pete Hoekstra, was doing that, saying that other intelligence agencies have better sources than we have. So I guess I kind of like this one.
Fred Thompson don't believe it.
Yeah. Well,
I loved your reaction there. Go ahead.
No, I was going to make a comment about Huckabee not knowing about it
right
for 24 hours and after it was released. I guess he was too busy reading the Bible to pick up the New York Times.
Yeah, he was looking for that passage that says that the Jesus is the devil's brother in the Book of Mormon.
I think he might have to look extra hard for that one.
Well, he's apologized for it, so apparently he couldn't find it. But anyway, it is interesting. Huckabee didn't even know about it. Fred Thompson.
Well, because we know who the devil's brother is, he's in the vice president's mansion.
the Naval Observatory.
Yeah.
So at least Thompson knows about it. He doesn't believe it. And we're seeing this push. The talking points now are that they want Iran to come clean. Now, why do we need them to come clean if we trust our intelligence estimate?
Well, you know, it's very funny if you think back to the period before the war in Iraq, when everybody, including the International Atomic Energy Agency, were saying that they couldn't find any Iraqi weapons of mass destruction program, and Saddam Hussein delivered an 18,000-page document to the United Nations explaining that he didn't have any. And the Bush administration took that as a, they said, that's proof that he has one.
Right.
And it was a paradoxical thing that the more they came clean, quote unquote, the less the White House believed them that they were coming clean. And at that point, the Iraqis realized really they had there was nothing they could do to stop the war.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, though, I think it's a little different because now you have an official, you know, U.S. government report saying that the Iranians don't have any nuclear weapons program. And so now it really comes down to a question of, you know, do they have the right to continue to do this research? And if not, you know, what can they trade for it and so forth? And so the Europeans are all saying, well, this, you know, this NIE doesn't change anything. We're just going to continue along with our diplomacy. But, of course, they know that it changes everything
mm-hmm.
because it means that that diplomacy is no longer operating under the cloud of some, you know, out-of-the-blue lightning strike from the United States to attack Iran when the president decided at some point, you know, next year that that this diplomacy stuff wasn't working anymore. Now, there's really nothing that Iran can do that would provoke an American attack, as far as I can tell. And so I think the war option is now formally off the table.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that actually vindicates one Robert Dreyfus, who's been a skeptic of that over the course of the last 2 years, as we have talked with you on and off and heard from other sources, other reporters with sources, indicating that there was active planning and that this was a serious intention. But you never quite bought into it, did you?
Well, no, I didn't. And, you know, sure there was planning, but, I mean, I'm sure we have plans to invade Canada, too. I think the reason is that the leadership of the U.S. military, the two admirals who run the Joint Chiefs and the Central Command, and also Bob Gates, the Defense Secretary, and pretty much most of the State Department, and of course now we know the intelligence community, were all confirmed skeptics for lots of reasons. Now we know, and we didn't before, but they did, at least for the last 6 or 8 months, that there was no nuclear program,
mm-hmm.
but also because they knew that the effects of attacking Iran would be so catastrophic that Iran would likely, you know, curl up in its shell internally and maybe then strike back in Iraq or elsewhere in places that we're vulnerable with exposed troops and so forth, and that it would cause a big mess. I mean, one of the things that it would, an attack on Iran would have caused a vitriolic reaction in Moscow, where the Russians are already at the end of their rope, and I think they would have seen that as, you know, the United States crossing a red line. So in all of these ways, I think that the preponderance of the establishment was so against the war in Iran that the president could not justify it, as much as his inner devil wanted to listen to the vice president and others who were calling for that.
Robert Dreyfus is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Your calls and comments are welcome. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. So, Bob, tell me what your sources have told you about the process here. We have some sketchy details from media accounts. Seymour Hersh telling us that this first surfaced almost a year ago. Some leaks indicate that we were able to get in touch and get cooperation from some top-level Iranian military officials who have either defected or at least gone double. And that this, you know, provided us with information that was first thought to be disinformation because it described anger in the top ranks of the Iranian military that this program had been suspended in 2003.
Yeah, well, apparently in this report, which is some, I don't know, 100 or 150 pages, there are many, many footnotes, well over 100 footnotes relating to different sources that the intelligence community had in coming to this conclusion. So it clearly is not the case of one source, you know, having come out of Iran and started blabbing, and, you know, us building some edifice on one source, like
curveball.
Now we did in Iraq. Yeah, there were a couple of cases, the Niger documents involving the, you know, the purchase of uranium in Africa, the curveball stuff on biological weapons research in Iraq, and a few other things like that, on which we built a massive but wrong conclusion. In this case, there were many, many sources. And so it seems to have involved not only defectors, but electronic intercepts, and presumably also some loyal nationalist Iranians on the inside who you know, want good relations with the United States and who have an incentive to talk to us on the sly or to talk to some of our allies. So it isn't like Iran is a monolith. There's a lot of people, from reformers to liberals to moderates, in there who we never quite know how they relate to each other, but many of whom, you know, want good relations with the United States, and I'm sure some of them are talking to us quietly.
Mm-hmm. Now, what were the internal machinations? Because this has been percolating for a while. Despite that, Cheney and Bush were making inflammatory comments about Iran, the World War III reference from Bush in mid to late October. And Bush claims that he didn't really know about this. McConnell said something about it, but it was during August, and Bush doesn't pay attention during August because he's on vacation. And so we have these slippery descriptions of the process in how the president was informed. And there also was a leak about what could have been a shouting match, but at least a heated conference that Dick Cheney participated in mid-November, as he presumably tried to keep this NIE from going public.
Well, by November, it was clearly too late. It was going to go public one way or another, and even Cheney admits to that. I think the more interesting is what you bring up about over the summer, when the CIA told the president that it looks like we have some new information in regard to Iraq. Now, I confess I don't really know what to think about that. I think either the president, you know, nodded his head and said, okay, you got new information, you know, let me know when you want to hand it to me, and moved on, which is fairly astonishing, or the CIA kind of just winked and said, yeah, Mr. President, we got some new information here, and we'll let you know once we're ready, because they didn't want to be preempted. So they may have kind of just indicated that, hey, yeah, we're getting some new signals here, but they didn't want to blab it all out to the White House, because then at that point, you know, back in the summer, it would have been maybe easier for the White House to have clamped down. It does seem that in the fall there was a back-and-forth debate where they asked the intelligence community to prove that it wasn't deception, and that might have been a good thing to do, because they had to go back at the CIA and examine all of this, and mm-hmm. apparently what they did is they said, let's figure out, if this is deception, how complicated would it have to be?
Right.
And they concluded that it would have been such a vast and complicated deception effort, given all the sources they had, that the Iranians just, you know, aren't smart enough or nefarious enough to have been able to orchestrate a deception of that magnitude.
So, well, and this is important to me, Bob, because, you know, this intelligence update is telling me what I want to hear. Okay, and so right away I become skeptical, and I say, well, that's too neat of a package to deliver to me, a progressive American who doesn't want to see us attack Iran, the news that they don't actually have an active nuclear weapons program. Well, I was initially skeptical of this, saying, well, is this an effort to mislead us? And I also wondered if it was some sort of a trap laid out by the White House to kind of give us a moment of complacency and then come back and poke us in the eye, maybe double-barreled like the Three Stooges used to do.
Well, I don't think, in this case, that the White House is that clever, and I think that their confused and stuttering reaction in the days after this came out, you know, is the best proof of that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a couple things you can say about that. One is the flip side of the NIE says that Iran did have a nuclear program up
right.
until 2003,
mm-hmm.
which is not exactly chopped liver. I mean, that's a significant statement to make.
Right.
Everyone who is welcoming this estimate also has to say, now, does that mean that we accept that Iran did have this program? And I guess I'm okay with accepting that. I mean, Iran is not, you know, a country of angels. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's a pretty, you know, hardball play in place.
Well, and what's important for me, Bob, is to move beyond the false choices, that if Iran has the intention, the knowledge, and the desire to develop a nuclear weapon, well, that doesn't equate to a need for an immediate military confrontation. Vigilance, negotiation, concern, sanctions, all those things, you know, might be warranted. But it's this set of false choices that it's only either or that has always bothered me. Let's pick up there.
I got to
take a break. I got to take a break. I'm late here. We'll continue in just a moment. I'll let you air that out. Robert Dreyfus is our guest. Visit his website at robertdreyfus.com. More in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning
patients.
On AM 540 KRXA.
The most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. Pacific Grove's Joe Rombi has turned his attention to pizza. Central Coast residents and visitors can now enjoy the finest pizza this side of Italy. Whether you crave the elegant simplicity of a pizza margherita or one of Joe Rombi's signature creations, like the Totally Chipotle, Crazy for Mushrooms, or famous Malrose, you'll fall in love with pizza all over again at Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa Pizzeria, next door to Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina on 17th Street in Pacific Grove. And with the holiday season approaching, if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina, with accommodations for groups of any size from 10 to 60. So for great dinners or private parties, it's Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina, next door to Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa Pizzeria. Click on joerombi.com or call 831-373-2416. Or for pizza, call 373-0129.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow. Hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests and you call in with your questions and ideas. And we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future. And we're doing it 5 times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters. Weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. This one's for Fred Thompson.
La
He knew about the national intelligence estimate. He just doesn't believe it. And politically, this song is prophetic because I'd say it's fair to say Freddie, he dead. We continue now with journalist Robert Dreyfus on the Peter B. Collins Show. Bob, I had to cut you off there before the break. I apologize. But go ahead and complete your thought. We were talking about the internal wrangling at the White House, whether this was a disinformation estimate, that sort of thing.
I was just going to reinforce your point that even if Iran did have a nuclear weapons program, an active one, that wouldn't justify a military attack. But now we have the added happy benefit that they don't have a nuclear weapons program. So that makes the idea of an attack on Iran seem, you know, literally insane. And even Rudy Giuliani, I think, is beginning to absorb the reality of that, because he's kind of stuttering and stammering when he talks about Iran. It's interesting that the Republican field running for president has pretty much shut up about Iraq now because the war is so unpopular. And now I have a feeling they're going to have to shut up about Iran, too. So I don't know what that's going to, you know, allow them to talk about. Maybe they're going to have to start, you know, fulminating against Venezuela or something. But they're running out of countries to bomb.
Bob, you have an interesting item on your blog today. People can access that at Robert Dreyfus, DreyfusS.com. And it ties in with the reaction of Iran. At first, Ahmadinejad was gloating a little bit and kind of tweaking the United States. But this week, he gave a much more conciliatory, almost diplomatic statement. And you have an item here that he's gotten a special invitation for the Hajj.
Yeah, you know, it's very interesting that Saudi Arabia is a country that survives on stability. It's a fragile monarchy that, you know, doesn't exactly want wars and revolutions and chaos surrounding it. So they were against the war in Iraq, of course, and, you know, 5 years ago, and they're certainly opposed to attacking Iran today. Last weekend, Secretary of Defense Robert Gates went to a meeting of the Gulf Cooperation Council. Ironically, this is a group led by Saudi Arabia and all the little sheikdoms, the kleptocracies like Kuwait and so on.
And the Emirates. The Emirates are in that too, right?
Yeah, and Qatar and Bahrain and Oman. Well, that was put together in the 80s to defend the Gulf against Iran. And the day before Gates went there to speak and, you know, rattled the saber a little bit about Iran himself, Ahmadinejad was at the meeting. I mean, he actually went to the meeting of this organization that was set up to oppose Iran. And then a few days later, his ambassador in Saudi Arabia announced that the king of Saudi Arabia has invited Ahmadinejad to come to Mecca to make the Muslim pilgrimage, the Hajj. And of course, we were treated to the picture of King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia literally holding hands with Ahmadinejad the other day at that Gulf Cooperation Council meeting. So I guess what's interesting to me is I don't know if this is a question of Saudi Arabia trying to smooth ties with Iran in the hopes that it'll further bring the United States along, or whether somehow behind the scenes the United States is encouraging the Saudis to, you know, make nice with Iran in order to sort of climb down from this confrontation that the hawks have been building. It may be a little bit of both, but it certainly is critically important for what happens in Iraq. I wanted to point out that if there's any, you know, point of a flashpoint for a war with Iran, it might be over Iraq, in that if the Iranians are accused of, you know, sponsoring attacks on American forces in Iraq, there could be retaliation there. That's where the president, you know, early this year started ranting and raving about how we're going to interdict all these Iranian agents and everything. But lately they've started to climb down from that too. They've said that Iran is apparently behaving itself. It's shut off the flow of arms coming into Iraq. Ambassador Crocker, our ambassador in Baghdad, is supposed to meet this week with his counterpart, the Iranian ambassador in Baghdad. So we're kind of on the diplomatic track in the clash between the United States and Iran inside Iraq, too. So I guess I'm holding that out as a kind of parallel development, that the vaunted Arab clash with Iran that was supposedly, you know, part of our strategy behind Annapolis and everything else mm-hmm. seems to be fizzling out as well, and the Arabs are making some important diplomatic initiatives toward Iran that could further strengthen this idea that maybe the U.S. and Iran can start talking rather than fighting.
Very interesting. Robert Dreyfus, thanks for joining us. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, explain the value of wines made from organic grapes.
You know, I think that drinking organic wines is what Tony Robbins described as a class one experience. Wines made with organic grapes feel good. They taste extremely good, just like an organic tomato or strawberry tastes usually better than a conventional counterpart. They are good. There's plenty of scientific evidence about the health benefits of drinking wine in moderation. Drinking organic wines also is good for other people in that you know you're supporting farmers. And last but not least, it's definitely good then for the higher good.
The Organic Wine Company. Log on to ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Mitchell Report.
The use of steroids in Major League Baseball was widespread.
The commissioner responds.
His report is a call to action. And I will act.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney.
This report makes it clear how systemic the problem is, literally.
Luis Fernando Llosa of Sports Illustrated says the report from former Senator George Mitchell confirms the suspicions that many have had for years. Many players have taken performance-enhancing drugs.
We're talking about 50 or 60 here, but basically hundreds and hundreds of people in an entire culture where commissioners and GMs and assistant vice presidents, right down to the bat boy, know this is going on and are looking the other way.
CBS News correspondent Steve Kathan was at today's news conferences and joins us live.
And Bill, some big names are in this 300-page document. Barry Bonds under a steroid cloud for years, but also stars Roger Clemens, Andy Pettit, Miguel Tejada, and Gary Sheffield. And former Senator Mitchell said baseball's steroid problem goes well beyond what he uncovered.
For more than a decade, there has been widespread illegal use of anabolic steroids and other performance-enhancing substances by players in Major League Baseball.
Mitchell recommended independent testing for steroids in the game, and he chided baseball for being slow to act and the players for not cooperating. Surprising many, he recommended no punishment for most of the players named. Commissioner Bud Selig, who said he embraced the report's recommendations, suggested current players named could face consequences.
Discipline of players and others identified in this report will be determined on a case-by-case basis.
Union Chief Donald Feher says he wanted a chance to see the report before today.
That request was denied both by Senator Mitchell and by the Commissioner's office. Accordingly, we haven't had an opportunity to review and study the report in any detail whatsoever.
Feher and Selig are now under new pressure to collaborate to try to keep steroids and human growth hormone out of baseball in the future. Live in New York, Steve Kathan, CBS News.
Fan reaction? Disillusionment from this man in Anaheim.
I think this creates a 20-year gap in the Hall of Fame in terms of what we thought was our best players not being in the Hall. I think it absolutely puts our children in a position of questioning, are these really the great players or are they not? And that's sad for baseball.
A woman in San Diego wonders if the report tells the whole story.
You look at them and you have to think, they're on something because you just can't get that big naturally. I mean, there's some that aren't on that list that are on the team now, and I think, all right, what are you taking?
Now this.
Pet owners praise it. The hotel staff loves it. Parents rave about it. Allergy sufferers applaud it. Senior citizens are agog about it. Now it's your turn. Hi, I'm David Orrick. Everybody's singing the praises of my 8-pound Orrick XL because it's the best vacuum that ever touched their floors. Try one risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200.
This holiday season, give the most eternal, unique gift of the year. Name a star after someone. I'm Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we'll name a star after anyone on your gift list. The star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office, and we will send an incredible personalized gift package. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com for the gift that shines forever.
The New Jersey Assembly, following the Senate's lead, voted today to abolish the state's death penalty. The bill's sponsor, Fred Caraballo, said there's no point in having it on the books.
It's nothing more than a paper tiger, a penalty in name only. The past 25 years, we've had dozens of criminals sentenced to death with no one being executed.
Governor John Corzine has promised to sign the bill. Earlier this year, a special commission found the death penalty does not deter murder and creates the risk that an innocent person might be executed. In Miami, a major defeat for the Justice Department, which is prosecuting 7 men for allegedly plotting to join forces with Al-Qaeda and blow up the Sears Tower in Chicago. Today, a jury acquitted one man and deadlocked on the charges against the other 6. The government immediately moved for a new trial, and the judge set jury selection to begin January 7th. In Southern California, authorities say they've arrested several young men as suspects in last month's devastating Malibu wildfire. It allegedly started with an illegal campfire in Corral Canyon, where teenagers gathered to party. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
We're shopping mall, there's shopping mall.
Things that are small, pops, big and tall. Traffic's a mess, there's no distress. Find a new way with no delay.
Traffic's a mess? Fear not. The Garmin Nuvi is here with traffic alerts and clear voice-prompted directions.
Turn right on 34th Street.
Give a Garmin.
The Garmin Nuvi GPS. Find it at Garmin.com or your favorite retailer.
Garmin.com.
Holidays getting closer. It's all right, there's a gift you'll find is perfect every time. Let's give Outback tonight.
Let go of your shopping worries with Outback holiday gift cards. Give everyone on your list a taste of the bold, fresh flavors at Outback. Drop by tonight and leave your worries behind.
Let's give Outback tonight.
Get gift cards at any Outback or Outback.com.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
This hour, we talk military and veterans issues with our pal Scott Dick. Check out this new tune, Angry Political Message from John Fogerty.
That old dead horse. You know you lied about how we went to war. I can't take it no more.
bad as hell. Can't take it anymore. John Fogerty was the guy who started Creedence Clearwater Revival back in the 60s, and then the band broke up. His new CD is called Revival, which is probably a way to get the lawyers back into the action. And it's got some powerful songs. It's one of two political protest songs on it. The other one is called Long Dark Night. And the only problem I have with it is that now that Tower Records went bankrupt, the labels have to look for different ways, and the Eagles' new CD is only available at Walmart, and this new Fogerty CD apparently is only available at Starbucks, so you got to latte up before you can buy one. Scott Dick joins us every week about this time. He served in the Marine Corps, then jumped over to the Army, and he retired as a major. He's our official contributor on military and veterans issues, and he joins the ranks of daily progressive talk show hosts now with his brand new program on our flagship station in Monterey, KRXA 540. Hey, Scott.
Hi, Peter.
How's it going with your new show?
Hey, it's going great. I almost gave you a hoo-ah there, but I thought that might be a little bit much.
Well, you can hoo-ah for John Fogerty or just about anything. I'll take it. So there's a lot to talk about, Scott. I wanted to start off about the news from Iraq, because we hear day after day people represent in the American media that the surge is working, that violence is down. And some of this is narrowly true. There have been fewer casualties in Iraq for American service members. The numbers for September and October matched a low point that goes back to 2004, roughly 37 American lives lost in each of those months. But I believe the media, you know, is overlooking a lot of the day-to-day events in Iraq. And there was a serious coordinated car bomb attack in the Basra area in southern Iraq a day and a half ago. The initial report said 27 died, but it's up to 46 now, 150 people injured. So this was a major coordinated attack. And the Basra area was under the control of the British. They are on their way out. The new Prime Minister of England, Gordon Brown, has called the troops home, but they haven't left yet. But they're hunkered down at an air base inland from Basra. And the Iraqi army has taken over the jurisdiction of security for the Basra region. And what we are hearing, reported by a New York Times reporter on the News Hour on PBS last night, is that this is not Shia versus Sunni. This is Shia on Shia. The southern area, which borders Iran, is heavily Shiite in its population. And what we have are turf battles that are underway as the various power centers are trying to figure out who's going to be in control when all the dust settles and the Americans leave.
It's an ugly situation. That there was a triple car bombing staggered so that it would kill the maximum number of people possible.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just three big bangs going off at once, they staggered them so people rushing to the aid in the first were killed by the second, and people going to the second that maybe not have heard the first were killed by the third. It's a treacherous way of doing blood business.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it just shows the complexities of the U.S. effort to deal with Iraq and find some way to exit without leaving a huge bloodbath behind.
But, Peter, there's nothing complicated about exporting democracy to Iraq. The president has said it over and over again. We just have to, after mission accomplished, we just have to stay the course until the job gets done and the mission is accomplished.
What is the mission, Scott?
I have no idea. And I don't know what the strategy is either. They keep saying the surge is working and nothing else is. None of the other tactical changes they've made in Iraq have made a lick of difference. It's just more boots on the ground that Eric Shinseki and everybody else was yelling about before 2003. So the president doesn't get it. He still doesn't get it. And if you listen to Dick Cheney, peace is at hand. We have Al-Qaeda on the run.
Well, let me pull up a couple of items here, because you've just touched on a couple of things. And in the preceding segment, we were talking with journalist Robert Dreyfus. At his blog, here is an item. Dick Cheney, the guy who told us in 2005 that the resistance in Iraq was in its last throes. Here's a quote from Cheney. I'm fairly confident, and this is after the release of the new national intelligence estimate on Iran and their lack of a nuclear weapons program. Quote from Cheney, I am fairly confident we'll have Iraq in a good place where we'll be able to look back on it and say that was the right decision. It was a sound decision going into Iraq. Sounding a note of caution, the vice president said, we've got a lot of work to do. We're sort of halfway through the surge, in a sense. We'll be going back to pre-surge levels over the course of the next year. But Cheney said that by the middle of January 09, when he heads off to cash in his Halliburton stock options, it'll be clear that, quote, we have in fact achieved our objective in terms of having a self-governing Iraq that's capable, for the most part, of defending themselves, a democracy in the heart of the Middle East, a nation that will be a positive force in influencing the world around it in the future. And he was quizzed, all of that by 2009? Yes, sir, he replied. Isn't that rosy?
Well, I think somebody slipped something into his heart medication, because that sounds like somebody who's plainly on some kind of hallucinogenic. There's no possible way that rosy picture. But you know, Peter, I'm a defeatist.
You're a hate America first guy.
I hate Americans, and I want the troops to lose because I'm a liberal.
Right.
And you know, when he says democracy in Iraq, it begs the question of whose democracy? The democracy that we've never, never attained in the United States? And if you listen to right-wing nuts, they just want to call me a hate America first because I have the temerity to call into question our form of democracy where the Supreme Court elects the president and you can steal an election by tampering with an electronic voting machine.
Now, Scott, how's your blood pressure?
It's fine, Peter. I work out all the time.
Okay, good, because I think this might raise it. These are carefully researched focus group terms that come in the form of an email from Mike Duncan at the Republican National Committee. The radical left is at it again, Peter. This time, MoveOn.org is demanding that Congress cut funding for operations in Afghanistan and Iraq. The Blame America First crowd wants the Democrat senators running for president to block the bill that funds our troops fighting the war on terror if it doesn't include a surrender date. Isn't that lovely?
Yes, it's a brilliant piece of
propaganda.
Well, I was going to say excrement, but you know, it's typical. They can't engage on the issues because they're so wrong, and so they engage in this kind of I don't know what you call it, this drivel, total drivel. And I can guarantee that Cheney, who doesn't have the spine, he says we're working hard. No, he's not working hard at all. The troops are doing the fighting and the dying. He hasn't done a darn thing except sit back and get more plumpish. And I'm sure he gave that presentation either to somebody from Fox News or some right-wing think tank organized, happy to have the Dick president in the group audience where they ask no questions. And somebody said, 2009, they probably threw him out. They probably had him arrested and threw him out as soon as he said that.
It was Michael O'Hanlon who supports the surge. He had to resign as an advisor to Hillary Clinton because he supports the surge, and he wrote it in USA Today. So it wasn't actually from the Weekly Standard or one of those real right-wing rags. Although I don't consider USA Today to be that deep of a newspaper.
You know, Peter, this stuff is going on all around us, I have to tell you something that I found. There's an organization called Vets for Freedom, and they're nothing but an apologist group for the war. And in their information, they put on their donate page,
mm-hmm.
Vets for Freedom needs your help to communicate America's strategy in Iraq and Afghanistan, because obviously the president can't. Without your support, the war debate will be dominated by defeatists like Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi, along with powerful anti-war groups like Code Pink. Boy, they're powerful. We cannot allow this to happen. Too much is at stake. And what's at stake? Please donate today to make your voice heard. Your money will help us fight the radical fringe groups who want to steer our country towards defeat in the name of gutter ball partisan politics. Support the troops by supporting their mission. Make your voice heard today. And I have some comments on those donations that people are making if we get to it this hour.
We'll get to it a little bit later on. We're talking with Scott Dick. Your calls and comments are welcome. We got a couple of people on the line. We'll get to you shortly. You can join in, too, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. You dial 1-888-573-8372. In our next segment, we're going to talk about a dark, dark issue. The incredible number of veterans who are killing themselves, committing suicide. That's coming up here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
News, commentary, and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super green nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas, and you should see it with all the lights. It's just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah. Christmas is fun. I mean, we start the kickoff with the, for the season, the first weekend in November with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreaths.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes and schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
Hi, this is J.R. Medina, and I want to thank KRXA and its listeners for supporting my store, PG Liquors. My son-in-law, Chad, and I truly appreciate the wonderful positive response that we have received to our advertising campaign on this station. We urge other business people in Monterey and Santa Cruz counties who want to increase their business at a reasonable cost to call KRXA's sales manager, Larry Rathall, at 394-5792. KRXA provides the best advertising value that I have found for businesses like mine. Call Larry at 394-KRXA.
Hey everybody, it's time for a little traffic, or traffic as we like to say here in the States. Let's see what we got going on. Well, we do have a problem in Watsonville. Strawberry Canyon Road at San Miguel Canyon. It's a two-car crash blocking lanes. Minor injuries being reported. In fact, emergency crews, fire department, paramedics, along with CHP, all on scene at this point. Traveling to the Prunedale area, we have an injury crash at 156 at Vieira Canyon. A vehicle collided with the tree. CHP is there. Looks like fire department crews also on the way to the scene as well. Carmel, Atherton Drive at Mesa Drive. Getting word of a problem there. It is, it's the three-car crash. Maybe blocking lane. Not getting definite information on that one, other than the fact that there is a crash. Salinas southbound 101 at Barana, there's a chunk of metal in the two left lanes, between the two left lanes, and Highway 17 looking good, no problems to report.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're partial to progressive politics and electric guitars. We got lines open if you want to talk military, veterans issues. Scott Dick with us this entire hour. Toll free, it's 888-5 Peter B. 888-573-8372. Let's pick up Matt in Sacramento. Hello, Matt. You're
Hi.
On the PBC show.
Yeah, I've got a question. How long
do you think it would take, with your military experience, for us to actually just get our troops out of there if we pull back like the Brits have done and said, we're leaving as quick as we can get out of the country? Do you think they'd be putting down rose petals and palm fronds for us to go?
Probably, but, it would probably take us 6 to 9 months is my guess.
But why would it take that long if we just leave the equipment and get out of there?
Well, leaving the equipment, it still takes a tremendous amount of... I used to be the headquarters commander of a mechanized... Actually, it's a tank battalion headquarters company. And just to move a platoon, it takes a Connex box or two. Just a platoon. I mean, you can't leave all your weapons. You can't leave... It would take years and years and years to replace just the kit that a modern army travels with. And, I mean, think about it. A kid on the ground has... he has, 7 pounds of batteries on his body.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, I mean, there's an RFP out there looking for a battery that'll last. It's cheap, and they're going to give $1 million as a prize for whoever comes up.
Not World War II, is it?
No, this is a whole different deal, and if you left all of that equipment there, even if you left the heavies, the tanks and the Bradleys and the Humvees, it would take probably 6 months. It just moving.
Maybe we could UPS them home?
You know, that's what we'd have to do. We'd have to completely privatize it. I mean, the Air Force won't produce the aircraft to do it, and they can't. There's going to be some ground movement and get it.
Well, I was suggesting at one point, guys, that the Democrats should approve funding for MRAPs, these hardened vehicles that are kind of between a Humvee and a tank, just provided that they had GPS units programmed for a one-way trip from Baghdad to Basra and get on a boat and get the hell out of there.
Well, there's my idea. Well, thank you for your input. I needed that. Thank
okay,
you
Matt.
Very much.
Thanks for the call today.
It's tremendous to move. I remember we moved our regiment. Our brigade from Germany back during Reforger in 87, and it took weeks and weeks and weeks to get us back. So it's just getting there was tough, too.
Mm-hmm. Scott, I want to turn to a difficult issue here. I was stunned when you and I were talking before the program today at the count, the estimate of the number of veterans returning from Iraq and Afghanistan who have chosen to end their lives committing suicide. And you cited a figure from 2006 that averaged 120 suicides per week. And I almost fell out of my chair.
Peter, there's a couple things that are just as disturbing. First of all, it's not a choice. It's brought on. It's any kind of psychological autopsy of a suicide. I mean, they're almost... Choice is really not one of the... Choice is not a choice.
Mm-hmm.
It's a given. When they get to the point, certain point, the VA didn't do this study. They have no research. They're completely avoiding the whole issue. It would be right-wing politically incorrect to come out and say, hey, you know, our troops are committing suicide, highest rate since the 80s, and the Department of Defense tracks those, but nobody tracks. Let me repeat that. Nobody has been tracking veteran suicide rates. So CBS, bless their hearts, the only mainstream media that gives a damn, went out and commissioned the 50 states, got responses from 45, and looked at the numbers, and in 2006, 6,256 veterans committed suicide, and the rates among the 20 to 24-year group, the brunt of the soldiers serving in Iraq and Afghanistan, were like 40% or 20, I won't exaggerate, 25%, mm-hmm. way above the normal suicides per 1,000.
Yeah.
And the VA the Veterans Administration has attempted to make their clinics, their local clinics, more responsive, but at the national level, they've completely failed, and their big claim to fame is now they have a 24/7 toll-free hotline, toll-free suicide prevention hotline.
Mm-hmm.
It's a disgrace.
And the VA has tried to dispute the CBS report. They can't dispute the statistics, but do they try to dispute their response?
Well, yeah, when they were really pinned to the ground about what their, you know, the research, they said, well, the research is ongoing. So you don't really know. No, and then the analyst was saying it's because they don't want to know. And the deal is 20 to 24-year-olds, they have the highest suicide rate. It's 2 to 4 times higher in this age category. These are our kids now. And the thing that makes this interesting is that the Congress people, especially the Congress people that have been veterans, that are veterans, I should say, have been active duty military reservists, have been fighting for this mandatory dwell time.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bush administration said, has been saying, you tie the hands of the commanders, blah, 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 lie, lie, lie. And this is the statistics from the mental health experts in the Army. Okay, this is not coming from some, code pink, sympathetic psychological
mm-hmm.
group. This
okay.
is from the Army.
Go ahead, I got 25 seconds.
Every 3 months in combat, they need a 1 month off. For a 12-month tour, that's 3 years out of combat. And for a 15-month tour, that's 45 months. And what are they getting? They're getting 12 months. And as one vet told me, they practically start the stopwatch when you step off the plane.
Yeah. We're going to pick up there as we continue. And if you have any issues or stories that you'd like to share with us about vets who've committed suicide and what the circumstances were, I'd like to talk with you about it. Lines are open at 888-5-PETER-B as we continue with Scott Dick here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The report is finally in. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. It's finally out in the open. According to the Mitchell Report, Major League Baseball has harbored a serious drug culture from top to bottom. The record books will now be full of asterisks, statistical acne. You know, I thought it was interesting that this comes out just as we're hearing the news that the average cholesterol level in the U.S. is finally down to the ideal range, under 200. And why do I find that so interesting in this context? Because it shows that Americans are finally taking a stand for health and wellness. Is that right, Dr. LaPook?
Cholesterol levels are down because people are taking statins and other powerful medications. But at the same time, we're fatter than we've ever been.
Oh, cholesterol is down because so many people take a drug. I see. And so baseball players who take drugs intended to help their conditioning will be condemned by people who take drugs to avoid conditioning altogether. But Dave, you say, this is about competition. This is about keeping competition pure. Well, dear listeners, life is competition. It's a contest for reproduction and money and to see who can collect retirement the longest. So we take Lipitor to lower cholesterol, Ambien to put us to sleep, Espresso to wake us up, Topamax to make us thin, Botox to make us beautiful. And so, yes, players will be condemned for taking something to help them swing a bat by people who take Viagra and Cialis to help them basically do the same thing. And in life, as in baseball, it's all fun and games until someone gets hurt.
Erections lasting longer than 4 hours, though rare, require immediate medical help.
I rest my case. Now this.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and hackers invade your business every day through email, instant messaging, web browsing, and your company's website. With no software to install and no per-user license fees, Barracuda Network Firewalls are easy to set up and affordable. Do what 50,000 other companies have done. Reclaim your network with a Barracuda Network Firewall. For a free evaluation unit, call Barracuda Networks, 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. events. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you'd like to talk about military or veterans issues, lines are open for you right now at 888-5-PETER-B. You dial 1-888-573-8372. Charlie Daniels Band. And there are a lot of vets on these shores whose minds are still in Saigon, and younger veterans who may still be in Baghdad or Kabul or Mosul or one of those other places, Fallujah, where lives were lost and memories will be etched forever. We continue with Scott Dick. He's our contributor on military and veterans issues. And Scott, one listener called who was a little confused by the statistics we used in the preceding segment. So clarify for us, what CBS did was study 45 states in the year 2006, and they came up with a number of over 6,000 veterans committing suicide, right?
Well, they went deeper than that. They went back all the way to, I don't have the exact numbers on me right now, but I think back to 2002 so they could get an idea of pre-war levels.
Hmm.
And only 45 states responded.
Okay.
So with that information, and they went back and asked them for veteran suicides, and that's how they came up with this, and by age, and it was pretty lengthy, and they have the methodology and things on their website if anybody's interested. And the number that struck me was this 6,256, 120 every week.
Yeah.
And then the 20 to 24, the highest, they have the highest among the vets. It's 2 to 4 times higher. So it's not Vietnam veterans or Korean veterans or World War II veterans. They're all part of it, but it's our Iraq and Afghanistan veterans that are really way too young to be doing this.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've talked before about PTSD, about how the military medical system as well as the VA seem overwhelmed and under-resourced to deal with it. Are we seeing a higher incidence of PTSD and serious brain damage in this war, say, as compared to the first Gulf War or Vietnam?
Absolutely. There's no. I'm not even a scientist, and I know that, because the problem is are the multiple deployments, because the military, the Army's not large enough. And there's still a vast number of soldiers who've never deployed because they're on other missions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a little backdoor talk going on among veterans, because once you've been in Iraq or Afghanistan, you wear a combat patch. And so there's a lane of discrimination going on against people that don't have combat patches. And so you're starting to see the track of people defending. They go where the Army sends them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's tough. We got kids on the second and third, fourth tours, and there's people who have never deployed.
Yeah.
But if you don't get 36 months home for every year that you're in combat, it's cumulative as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the Charlie Daniels song, he was referencing at least his story, or the story he was telling, was 13 months and 15 days. And when we hear about these repeated 15-month tours in Iraq and Afghanistan, that certainly got to have a heavy impact.
Peter, I know somebody personally who I talked to, and he's an officer that served in Afghanistan, went to Iraq. He was in the 25th ID. And when his tour was changed from 12 months to 15 months, his wife packed up from Hawaii and moved to Florida.
Yeah.
She was done.
Yeah.
So this is a toll, and he's a professional, an educated professional who, you know, is making the military career, knows the risks, but they were not prepared for this. And at this level, I mean, this is the mid-core of the military. This, if there's a support group for the professionalism and idealism in the military, it's their mid-level, mid-core officers and more senior NCOs.
Mm-hmm.
And when you alienate them, you do this to their family, then there's nothing left. Everybody else is transitory.
Let's take a call. Roger in Cape wants to join us. Welcome, Roger. You're on with Scott Dick.
How are you guys doing? I was an officer in Vietnam, and what you just said, the officers, especially the academic officers, interfaced for the enlisted men. Most of them were not, you know, academic. When the guys get out of the service, they come back, those academic officers are abandoning them. And if you think about the difference between having, you know, somebody with a college education interfacing for you with reality, and all of a sudden they leave, the depression is massive. Those officers from Vietnam, or we had to interact with our guys. The guys from Iraq, the officers there, when they get back here, they've got to spend more time working with the enlisted men. And when I say that, I'm not talking about counseling. I'm not going to enlisted men have a problem dealing with reality, whether it's legal issues or academic issues or bureaucratic issues or philosophical issues, that he can call up his officers and ask him. And the guys take time, not because they're being paid, because it's a matter of honor.
You're exactly right.
The depression, you know, that's going on, and the guys are committing suicide. I've seen a lot of people commit suicide. I've had a lot of people talk to me just before they commit suicide, you know, and probably a lot more than most people. But I think with the officers from Iraq just have to learn to settle down and be more responsible. You know, their wives are abandoning him. They're having the same personal problems. We had problems coming back to Vietnam, but they're officers. And they're not supposed to let that personal stuff get to them.
All right, Roger, you make a good point. Let's hear from Scott.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Roger.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, that's presupposing that somehow these kids themselves are any different than anybody else. And as professional as they want to be and as strong as they want to be, you know, these captains, and Peter, a lot of people, I just have to keep saying this, don't know that captains are the most senior officers that actually fight on the battlefield. They fight their Bradleys, they fight their tanks, and they're out there leading their infantrymen. They don't stand back in the middle of, you know, they don't fly around in helicopters,
right,
and command and control platform like they did in Vietnam. They're on the ground. And so when one of their guys is killed, it's a different issue for them because they're in charge, and their failures in their minds is what led to one of these kids being killed. And so you have somebody who's riding around in an up-armored Humvee with everybody else. It's really hard to compartmentalize what you're going through. You know, they'd have to be superhuman. And there's some people out there, but most people are just normal. And it's just it's total ignorance from an administration that most of them never served a day in uniform. And if they did, they didn't do a very good job like Bush Jr.
Laura in Sacramento. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Scott Dick.
Hi, Peter. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Laura.
Hey, I would like to ask Scott's opinion about whether he believes that this breaking of the military is by accident or by design. There's clearly a push to privatize every single government service and to convince the American public that government doesn't work. And then toss this off on privateers and mercenaries, much to the dismay of anybody that has a patriotic bone in their body. And I'd like an answer, but I'd also like to leave with a comment that, you know, I hope and pray that I live long enough for the 21st century Nuremberg-type trial and hope to see Donald Rumsfeld have to account for this.
All right, Laura, thank you for that. Go ahead, Scott.
Well, it would be foolhardy for anybody, neocon or not, to rely on entirely mercenary army, because anybody who studied history knows that in one moment they're going one direction and all you have to do is offer them a dollar more and they're suddenly about face going in a different direction. I mean, that's classic through history. Roman emperors made their living by bribing the Praetorian Guards and other legions around their known world.
And the tradition is alive and well in Afghanistan, where we can rent warlords, and the next month they'll work for somebody else.
We can buy them really easy, just carry that suitcase of money. So the idea is, and I know this from a friend of mine I served with in Bosnia, who was in a pretty convenient leadership position in Washington, to know that Rumsfeld's early reforms, and I put quotation marks around that, was to do illegal contracting. And the way they said it is, well, we just have to change the law. And, you know, this guy was outraged because of what they're trying to civilianize. Now, I think the idea was to have this core of war fighters who were loyal Americans, idealists, and to squeeze as much blood and honor out of them as they could and privatize the entire logistical tail, because it's about 6-1 now. So if you can get, I mean, that's some big money there, if you could privatize the six in the logistical tail and leave the war fighters, the actual bullet, the trigger pullers, you know, in this volunteer, all-volunteer force. And I think that was the idea. You know, it's the last bastion of unfettered, unscrutinized contracting, is all this stuff. And we've seen the results of that. Blackwater is a perfect example. KBR, you know, the overruns, the fraud, the waste, the abuse is a perfect example of what. Now, the good news, Peter, are you ready for some good news?
Yes, I am, right now.
Our Democratic Congress is looking at the civilianization of military positions, especially in the medical and dental fields, and they're basically held up the red paddle and said, whoa. And see, you and I have talked about this before on your show, about when you replace a military dentist with a civilian contract dentist, it's not the same thing. It's not just dental work is dental work is dental work, or a physician who is wearing an Army uniform because he was a private and then went to the Uniform Health Services College for free, and now he's taking care of troops on the ground. He knows what it's like. If you civilianize that position, they could give a damn. At 5 o'clock, they go home.
Yeah.
And that's my experience. When you we used to have something called the military MOS, or the MOS library, which was, you know, you could go there and check out books about your military specialty. And when they contracted that, 5 o'clock, that door was locked. In the old days, you could call up the E7 that ran that library and say, "Hey, could you come over and open it up?" And they go, "Sure, sir," because they didn't have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very what's happening with our military.
All right, next we go to Julie in Sacramento. Thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show, Julie.
Hi, Peter. I just want to let you know that they have a new EMDR program that helps veterans with PTSD. I am a Vietnam-era veteran.
Okay, a little louder, Julie. I'm sorry.
I'm a survivor of 12 years of my husband's PTSD.
Uh-huh.
He was in Vietnam for a year. And I'd like to say that the suicide occurs when the emotional or physical pain exceeds the joys of living. And here are some of the experiences that our guys go through, and that is death at all stages, anger, rage, no love, no loving sex or warm hugs.
Yeah.
They hurt at the loss of a brother or sister, and the shame and the hurt and the guilt of losing a brother or sister in war zone. When our guys are there in a war zone, they don't worry about anything other than trying to stay alive. They have every second of every minute is about war. And there is no way that even 1 month would be able to take care of this. And what the EMDR does, it tries to focus the vet on the positive things in their lives and try to bring the negative. And that's if our vets would be introduced to that.
Yeah. Julie, thank you very much. I know it's difficult for you to talk about this. I can feel your loss, and yet I also feel your love for others that you want to try to...
I love my sisters. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Julie. Appreciate that. Let's just take a moment of silence for Julie and for her former husband. We'll continue here in just a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show. Scott Dick remains with us, our contributor on military and veterans issues. Our toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Karma Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Karma Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Hey everybody, it's time for a little traffic. And let's get to it. Let's see what we got going on. Well, Watsonville, Strawberry Canyon Road at San Miguel Canyon, we have a minor injury crash. Two cars blocking the lanes there. In fact, CHP is on scene. Carmel Atherton Drive at Mesa Drive, a fender bender with three vehicles. They're off to the shoulder there at this point. And CHP updating us on a problem in Prunedale. Injury accident, Highway 156 at Vieira Canyon Road. Excuse me, it's a vehicle that collided with the tree. CHP is on scene. Watsonville, Highway 1 at Dolan. We have animals in the roadway. In fact, well, it's an injured pelican in the lanes. Santa Clara County, 152 eastbound before Bloomfield. Heads up for a large piece of metal between the lanes there. And let's take a look at Highway 17 northbound and southbound, checking in with no problems. And that is a look at traffic on KRXA.
Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. It's 9 minutes in front of the hour. We continue with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues. Touching call from Julie before the break. And Duncan joins us from Humboldt County, from one of the towns that doesn't end in Ville. He's in Fieldbrook. Hello, Duncan. Welcome to the program. Oh, I forgot to press the button. Now, Duncan, go ahead.
Hi, Peter B., and I'm really enjoying the dialogue with Scott. And I'd like to ask Scott a question from it's really great to get a military perspective on Iraq. And whether you feel that whether the Iraqi army, and for that matter the Iraqi police force, will ever really stand up as long as we're such a heavy presence in the country, or whether the only way they're really ever going to be an effective fighting force is after we withdraw.
Well, that's a good question. I don't know if anybody else saw this report, but they just ordered the all the women in the Iraqi police force to turn their weapons or lose their paychecks. So it doesn't seem like they're moving in the direction that the Bush administration wanted them to move in, which I thought that was fascinating. This is also the same force that we've lost $1 billion in funding and weapons. We don't know where it went. The only way to get anybody to do something for themselves is to stop doing something for them. And it seems like either they're going to be fully involved. It's going to take a, you know what it's going to take? It's going to take a real strong person to kick Iraq into shape. And, of course, that means they're going to have powers of a strong man, and that's something the United States has always supported. And so the idea, I think the idea of having a democracy there where there's a full give and take, that's not going to be for a long time in the military and the police force. Probably the military first, and then they'll use military police, and then they'll build a police force after that would be my guess.
If I can ask a quick follow-up question.
Sure, go ahead.
From your military perspective and your knowledge of Iraq, I mean, is some sort of a central command, whether it's police force or military, are we just kidding ourselves given the strength of the tribal mentality? And I'm not critiquing it. I mean, it's a reality, I think, in the Middle East.
Yeah. Go ahead, Scott.
Well, I think structuring the police forces along tribal lines might be an approach that they may be taking. But I do know that as soon as we praise a police chief for his work with us, they kill him. So maybe we should stop doing that. That happened this week. They exploded mm-hmm. an IED under a police chief that had been working with American forces right after he'd been praised for working with us. So we just put bullseyes on, inadvertently try to share our success stories with everybody by saying what great folks, you know, what great works we're doing. Then we get the guys killed. That happened with the Sunnis that was working with us, and now this police chief.
Right. And Duncan, you'll notice that the administration has stopped talking about what it will take for them to stand up so we can, quote-unquote, stand down.
Right.
And in particular, you know, we have paid off a lot of people in Anbar province as a way of buying some temporary peace. We discussed at the top of this hour the situation in southern Iraq where the British are getting out of the way. The Iraqi army is supposed to be in charge. They, of course, are dominated by the Shia. And we have Shiite leaders of various cadres and militias who are fighting it out in